You're on.
Good morning. My name is Harry Brown, and today's date is the 14th of April 2018. We are in a ground floor room at Brent Men Cup at 379381 High Road, Willesden. I'm with
Shirley Bickers,
who is talking to us about their memories of this building for the Hidden History Project. Could you tell us how you first heard about the project?
Oh, how, I'm a trustee of Brent Men Cup, so obviously I was interested when Brent Men Cup went for the heritage funding. Mm-hmm. So that's how I heard about it. Yeah. I'm also was a trustee years ago, so I worked here.
And can you describe what your connection with the building is now in terms of what you do?
My connection with the building now is I come monthly for the trustees meeting, and then sometimes I come in if I've got spare time to do sort of voluntary work, sorting through filing cabinets and items like that. So,
and can you describe your earliest memory of this building? Your earliest memory of the building?
It's really interesting. It's been very hard sort of thinking about these things because I obviously came here when I was a trustee when Brent Men Cup first started, and Pam Kenny was our coordinator, and that would be probably round about 77 because I think it was just when I was sort of not left work. And I was doing some voluntary work with Brent Men Cup, and I should imagine I would come there then. But and I can remember the day centre. The day centre is probably the clearest memory I have because that was the main bit of the building, and where sort of lots of elderly people were coming in and out all the time.
And can you tell us a little bit about the layout of the building? Was it the same as it is now?
All downstairs. If I remember, all downstairs was more or less one whole area. I don't remember the bits being shut off like this, and the kitchen area, which was very vibrant and always lots of people in there, because I think they used to do meals as well in here. And we used to go up the back stairs. We used to come in the main door and then go up the back stairs because we didn't use the front lot of stairs, so that the day centre would know who was coming in at that time, because there wasn't intercons. So we used to come through that way. And then we only had the first floor, and it was us and Brent Mind had an office, and there was a shared kitchen. And then, as I recalled, there was two sisters living upstairs, two elderly ladies living upstairs on the very top floor. But there again, seeing that's whether that's sort of folk history or whether that's true history and whether it's just because it's been said so many times, but certainly that's why I sort of recall being told that we never used the top floor at all.
Can you tell me about some of the kinds of services that were provided there then that you would have been connected with?
So when Brent Men Cup first started, it was very much about getting things organised, and the work I did with them was about working with a couple of the specialist social workers and working with families. So we would have families' problem, you know, when they'd just been diagnosed with a young child with learning disabilities, the social worker would link up with Brent Men Cup, and I was one of the visitors that would go and visit the parents and try to put more of a positive light on than the medical view of having a child, especially a child with Down syndrome. It was often a very negative opinion that the medical staff would give. And so we would go along there with photographs of people with Down syndrome who were leading extremely fun lives and were sort of at school and doing jobs on a day centre and trying to look that it isn't a horrible end-of-the-world situation. So I remember doing that quite a lot. So I remember doing a lot of work with parents as a volunteer. And the other thing that we started was play schemes, which we didn't run here. We ran down at one of the community centres, but we would meet here often before the play schemes would start.
Did those play schemes run throughout the year?
They were just in the holiday, and they were run at Bridge School Annex, which was where they used to have their dinner, and it was an old ARP place where during the war, and that's where they used to have their dinner and their, so obviously in the school holiday times it was free, and we used to run the play schemes there. Pam started running play schemes and getting funding for that. We were very lucky because actually the council had asked us to, as a society, to employ a worker, and they were paying full costs and everything. So if she saw something that was needed, sort of going back and sort of said to council, we need play holiday, you know, we need play schemes for children with special needs. What else did we do? And then I'm just working back. And then we also started the first group home here. So that was in Harleston. That'd be Pam. Yeah, that'd be Pam as well. And it was the first home for people with learning disabilities. It was in Brent, as far as I know. And that was started. So it was a lot of work then done with parents about letting their sons and daughters leave home. So we had lots of... I'm trying to think where we used to meet. So just finding my mind back where we... I think we had the meetings upstairs in the room, the committee meetings. Yes, so they'd be in one of the committee rooms, because at that point there'd only be Pam working because she was by herself. But when we got housing, we got a housing worker, started work then. And then that's when we stopped using the building so much for meetings, and I'm trying to remember where we went. But that might come to me, I'll have to think.
So so what stage after the Brent Mencap moving here, did you get to the stage where you were organising group home and play schemes?
The group homes would be around 81, 82. I'm right, yeah, 81, 82. This is all in, yeah, so it'd be around that time, I think, we started the first group home, yeah. And that meant everything was getting a lot better, bigger, because we were getting workers, and Brent Mencap started expanding. And things started being sort of more regulated, so because the Brent Mind had then got workers, and they were doing work. And I think not very long after that, sort of, and with the day centre, it became a very busy building. You know, lots of people going on about.
Clearly, the services then started to diversify a bit. You started offering more sort of services.
Yeah.
Can you go through some of the evolution of that?
Oh gosh. I think the group homes started, and then. They started doing services, looking at jobs and things like that, and then working in the day centres, giving more advice work. Let's go, trying to think of workers that were here. I think that was probably about it. That was, and then, because then I changed them, because then when 80, so in the late 80s, I then became the coordinator working here. So I then suddenly, Pam left to go off to train, and I became the worker here for a short while. So that was quite interesting. And that's when we had jobs. Oh, so when I was working here, we diversified. We had people doing job seeking and working with colleges and the day centres. We had a sexual health worker who did work around sex education. We then did work. We then had a play worker. Say Gabrielle. Yeah, and our housing developed into three houses, and we had three group homes: one in Harleston, one in Wilsdon, and one in Kilburn. So it also
you coordinated that.
So we coordinated all that. It was a time when the council and we worked very close together. The council had money, the health authority had money, we could go for money, and we were very involved. We actually wrote the sex education policy for Brent Council, Brent Mencap did. We helped develop areas, different areas around, and then I'm trying to think of the order of coordinators, whether Anne came in between. And hey, I can't remember. So I'm thinking back to when I was here, because yes, because when I moved on, we just it became the time when Day said everything was going to be privatised, and that's when I sort of stopped being coordinator. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't want to go into Day Centre. That wasn't the theme of my work, and I worked more. And we split the role here at Brent Mencap into development and support. And I was the support, in charge of support workers, and I was the one doing more outreach work and getting other groups to be developed.
I've got a couple of little triggers here. Annual reports. Apparently, you were involved with Neath'n Gateway Club.
Oh gosh, yes.
And the Bonanza Club.
Right, Neath'n Gateway Club. We were a bit of a separate. And I still am involved in Neath'n Gateway Club. I still run it one night a week. That was a bit of a separate entity from the Mencap, although it was. If we think about it, Brent Mencap was made up of Wilsdon and Wembley Society, and they were two different societies. The Gateway Club was much more linked with the Wilsdon Society, Bonanza Club with the Wembley Society. The train should meet type thing. It was very... it was quite differently run and everything. And Wilsdon Mencap used to meet down in St Catherine's Church up at Leesden. We used to have all our parties there and everything. And Wembley met sort of around Kingsbury Way. And that's where the Bonanza Club was based, in Kingsbury. Mm-hmm. And Leesden Gateway Club was based down, used to be based down at the old Adult Training Centre. It was based where Leesden Roundabout is now. And then it moved also to Bridge Annex with the youth service, because the youth service was pretty big and they sponsored the club, and they're also sponsoring the play schemes and all the play activities. So the club and the play schemes were very linked, and I did lots of running both of them. So the club in some ways was totally independent. We just had people that were both volunteers with both, so the link was a lot closer. And then when Wilsdon and Wembley Society, first of all, there used to be a third committee. It used to be Wilsdon and Wembley met, and then there was a break committee which was made up of the chair of the two local societies and Councillor Roger Stone, who became president, but he sort of was chair of the Brent bit. And eventually it was decided, as you know, it seemed silly duplicating, and when we got the worker, it was then decided to make it just one society. And possibly by looking in the diaries, we might see when that happened, because I think it's still got the old Wilsdon and Wembley.
I've got Gateway Club is 84, and the coordinator of Bonanza Club is a bit later in 91, when you were.
Oh, right, okay, that's good. I'm glad you know what I did. I was with the Gateway Club from before that. I was with the Gateway Club in my 45th year next year with the Gateway Club, and my husband's 47th year. Yeah, 91, yeah, so... I have to look back, I should have brought... Yeah.
And did they have any connection with this building, though? Were they just coordinated from here?
No, and the club was never had any connection with Brent Mencap, really, at all. It was all done from the volunteers' houses and the... The only connection we did have, and I do, just thinking about this, there was a scheme for police cadets, because the police cadet college at Hendon, and we used to have, and the police cadets used to do a session at the Stonebridge Day Centre. They used to go swimming, it was part of their course, they used to spend a few weeks, and then they used to spend an evening at club, come and see a club, which was a different sort of area. And we also used to have staff that were on the training for Marks and Spencers in Wembley. They used to, their students when they would come in, and they were, it wasn't apprenticeships then, but they would be sort of training with Marks and Spencers. They would come and do voluntary work with a voluntary organisation, and they did work with Brent Mencap. And at that time, I started a junior gateway club. It was on before the club on a Tuesday night, and the Marks and Spencers trainee used to come and help at that. Gosh, and I just remembered, we also did computer training here. Mm-hmm. That's just sort of come back to me. We had money to buy two computers, and we did training with unemployed people to teach them to do training here for people with learning disabilities. And I'm going back to the old Acorn, because it wasn't very long ago we actually got rid of all those training, because my husband was a computer programmer. So he used to train the volunteers who then sat in with people with learning disabilities to use computers. Gosh, I don't. So that used to run here. So we used to have computer training here, and it was very basic computer training, and using games more than anything else. I don't think it was doing so much word processing, using games, but yes, I'd forgotten that one.
So I'm going to ask you about the use of the building over all of these. Have you always found it being absolutely appropriate for the services, or have you found yourself have to manipulate and...
Yeah, I think it was very open plan. It was very much up, the offices upstairs were all open plan. There was no separate rooms for anybody. So you just worked in the whole office, so you'd be in there. I remembered this from the other day when we went to a funeral of one of our members. And I was talking to the person who was one of the housing development workers, Teresa. And we used to have this, because obviously all the staff were in the room. And if we needed to say something, because we didn't have a confidential room to go and talk into, the code was, did you see Cagney and Lacey last night? And then one of us would go to the loo, and then the other one would join later on. And that's where we would go and sort of say, well, we're a bit worried about something, or, you know, that conversation, or, you know, something turned up that... Because there wasn't any space, it was just one large open-planned office. And it was just funny how something came to us. So it was a Cagney and Lacey was the trigger to go and talk confidential, because there was...
What would a typical day working in the building look like, if there is such a thing?
I'm just trying to think. Well, I used to get here because I lived down in Harleston, so I would take my children to school and then walk up here. So the days would be, so it'd be sort of, the housing worker would have certain days when the staff would bring in the rent money, so that we would take that. We had a paid bookkeeper who'd come in, and he'd come in one day a week, so he would sort of check all the money off. So he came in on a Thursday, if I remember rightly. He was setting up as a chartered accountant, so this was good sort of basic. So he didn't charge very much for coming in, because he was not sort of learned on the job, but it was something he was sort of being able to do, and he was local. And we'd probably have sort of people going in and out. There'd be probably people would be going off to meetings. And we'd have certain meetings here. We might meet with sort of the area. There was area social workers, so they would come in. And every time, you know, Brent would go through little sort of changes around, we would often have sub-meetings here in the building. It was more going in and out. And as I say, downstairs was the day centre, and we used to do some sort of bartering, because the day centre finished using the building about 4 o'clock, or the drop-in. It was Wilsdon for the elderly, Club for the Elderly. And so we would often say, if we could use it, we would like give a box of envelopes, or maybe let them use the photocopy. It was a sort of, because they weren't using the building, and because if we went, a bit like if you went to all the paperwork to see if we could hire the building for an hour or something, it would probably cost somebody more money. We used to often do a bit of swapping over that they might want a ream of paper for something, and we could give them that, and we could use the building down here if we were having a big meeting. But often, a lot of our committee meetings, I would go to people's the secretary's home. I certainly remember having meetings at my house and things like that, because it was sort of easier than trying to come back here in the office in the evenings and for people. We also used to meet as a group of voluntary organisations. We used to meet at the church at the corner as well. St Mary's Church. We used to have luncheon clubs once a month there for the voluntary groups, organisations to meet up with, which hasn't got anything to do with this building, but we also would host it here sometimes as well. So we'd have other coordinators or directors of other voluntary organisations would meet here to sort of discuss things.
So, and about sort of how many different client groups would you have? Well, accessing the services.
Well, actually, at some point here, we had hosted here. Age Concern was here, and Mind and us. And Age Concern came here just for a short period because they moved to Harlesden, but they were here for a short period. I think again, so maybe the link through the day centre here that they put pressure on to get an Age Concern worker that I can't remember, but I know we had Age Concern living here. Brent Mind was here, and for a short while, one of the other organisations came here. No, I can't remember. It'll come back maybe. It was another mental health organisation that stayed here for a while. I'm not sure whether Crossroads came here or if they automatically rent Crossroads, or they always were based at BADP, which was based in Wilson Hospital. I just seem to have a feeling, but it might just mean they came here again. The community, there's groups that were around here. There was a lot of voluntary organisations around here, and we were all very friendly and sort of shared expertise, shared... sort of support. It was a time when, it was good. And then next door we had the Law Centre, and we spent a lot of time sort of linking up with the Law Centre. So they would also come in here as well when they were setting up. And then at the back was the Wilsdon Black Music Cooperative. They were at the bottom of the garden. We were quite friendly with them as well, because it was quite useful. One of our support workers was in a steel band for British Airways, and so we had links with the music cooperative, which was quite useful, because if there was any hassle, there was lots of sturdy young blokes at the back there that you actually knew, you felt quite safe, that they were sort of at the back of the building if you were working late here, that would come and if there were sort of drunks around on the high road. I sort of come here and work late sometimes when it'd been a busy day, and I'd come back here and sort of just get on with a piece of work.
And of your men cup clients, what sort of diversity of things would be done by them during a week, say?
So when I was here, we'd only get those that were coming in for it'd be advice, so that might be coming in with their parents. There'd be the ones that were housed by us. There'd be the group that were going off to be to the work experience or work doing work job placements. We'd get people that would just drop in because we were there. Parents would just drop in. So it'd be whatever the work was going on, people would drop in and come in. I think there was always, somebody there, so somebody would see. And there wasn't a specific advice worker, so people would sort of try to give advice if parents were coming in. We didn't really have support groups or anything. It's testing my memory. Yeah.
Okay, I was going to ask, do you have any specific memories of particular colleagues who, or incidents that came up which, make a good story, if you like?
Other than the Cagney Lacey. I'm trying to think. It was obviously, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. It might come as it goes through.
Okay. You said you travelled to the building usually by walking from Harleston, and you're clearly sort of local.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about how your memory sort of records how the area around the building has changed in the time you've been coming here?
Oh, gosh. I suppose, like, there was a big factory. They gave us a grant to Club, sort of where B&Q, which is not B&Q now, is it? Home base. It was a jeans company, and we linked up quite well with them because when they stopped parking along the high road, we chatted them up to see if we could... chatted them up sounds disgusting. We negotiated with them about when we had committee meetings, if people could park and whether our workers could park in their car park. So we went and visited them quite well. There was the sweet shop, where we used to get the... somebody used to go out and get the Brent Chronicle and Wilson Chronicle and the Brent Chronicle on a Thursday, just so we could look up, see if there was anything that we needed to pick up on. That was a Thursday. I suppose walking up. That was, after I came past Rowan Park and up and past the... I don't remember much about the Labour Club and then the... I think there's always been a restaurant-y bit building nearby. And then the Law Centre, pub across the road, and walking round to Edwards the Baker for rolls was something I also... We used to spend a lot of debate about what we were going to have for our rolls and sending people round there to do that. I'm just trying to think. The meals I remember going out to weren't round here. We used to go... I'm trying to think where we used to go for Christmas meals. Maybe we didn't. Because I certainly remember us later doing Christmas meals, and that was up by the Ugly Duckling in Wembley. We did a couple of meals up there. But, it's things about things relating, because obviously this was, I'm trying to think what the name of the pub was on the corner, the White Hart on the corner. But that was something that's connected to Club, because us as helpers used to go there after Club to the White Hart or to the Wimpy Bar on Wilson High Road. So there's sort of things all mingled. And also because I had a friend that lived just around the corner. So when I was at school, I also visited her. So, and you used to get your school uniform from a shop in Neasden. For Wilson County Grammar, that was where your school uniform was built, was brought. So I remember going up there a few times, and also coming to Wilson Bus Garage on the way back. So my memories are all very higgledy-piggledy about around here.
Can you remember anything about when the building was sort of sectioned into the way it is now, and how that affected?
Now, I think that might be the time I wasn't... The main bits was in the time when I wasn't really connected. There was a period of time when I left Brent Mencap totally. I worked for Brent Carers Centre. I still did the club, but we didn't have a relationship with Brent Mencap at that period of time either, because it was just a period of... So there's a great... gap of about a few years where I had nothing to do with Brent Mencap, didn't come to the building. So a lot of the things when I came back had changed. Although I do remember the bit upstairs was done beforehand. Yes, that was done beforehand. I do remember that. Yes, so that was done some weekend and things about having a separate room for the coordinator, the director then. He wanted a separate room, and the finance worker wanted a separate room, and so that was done that I had not involvement. At that point, I was doing part-time outreach work, so I very rarely came into the building. I was more based in day centres, setting up new services. I only came in one half a day a week, and I wasn't terribly involved with what was going on as a worker. I was at college. I'd moved up to Milton Keynes, Bletchley. I therefore had lost lots of my ties here, and it was a job that I did part-time, but not really based here and not putting so much effort in here.
Yeah, are there any other recollections you can bring to mind that relate to working in and about the building?
No, actually I do, and we were interviewing support workers, and it was Robert, who just recently left, and poor guy, we're doing the interview, and we had one fire alarm, so we all had to go out and walk across the other side of the building. Then we had, so we came back, apologised, sit down, do the interview again, and then I can't remember what happened, but I had to then go out of the room because we had somebody come in, and it was a really urgent question that I was the only one who would know the answer to. So I just remember that, the poor guy, and we gave him the job because I thought if he could cope under having an interview, sort of being a mad dash, because we had to go down the stairs, out the back, and stand across the road in the middle of your interview, and you could still be calm and sort of chat quite well, and then suddenly sitting down and doing all this, and then suddenly being asked to go outside to do something else and then coming back in. He did very well. So that was one of the instances I do remember here. I just remember that. And just trying to think of some of the bits we did. Sort of the going down the stairs was always quite fun. And whether you went down the right bit of stairway, not making sure you didn't come into the wrong door or something, that you didn't come in when they were doing hairdressing down here in the... Or they came upstairs and did... I think they came upstairs and did hair. I seem to have a feeling that we had the best sink, so they used to come upstairs and do the day centre down here. For the elderly people, I think they used to come upstairs and have their hair done because we had better sink, because the only sink they had was in the kitchen. So I'm sure they used to come upstairs and wash people's hair. So that's just a...
So this is when you have the old people's day centre.
Down here. I'm going around the room, I'm sort of remembering that. So they would come upstairs to have their hair washed. So a hairdresser used to come one day a week and do hair washing for some of them. Mm-hmm. But that used to be upstairs, so you could smell the hair washing. And that's when you couldn't use that room. and the toilet being built down here, that was sort of like a great thing to have a disabled toilet downstairs as well. That was good because changing people was horrendous, but needed to change in. So having a changing, proper changing station was good. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Back.
Surely because you've had a long relationship with this building.
Yes.
And you've got a lot of memories, and thank you very much for sharing this with them. If you think you've shared everything you have with us...
I think so, yes.
I'll just say thank you very much for the interview.
That's fine. Thank you. That's good.